Morning.
Same problem.
Everyone, meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. It's 10:02 on Thursday, April 25th. Members present are Representative Vance, Representative Tarr, Representative Christ Tompkins, and myself, Chair Stutes. Gentle reminder, please silence your phones, and we're asking that you don't approach the committee table. If you need something, you could get a hold of my committee aide, Matt Greening. He'd be happy to help you. I'd like to thank Selma Holland, our committee secretary, and Eileen Keim from the Juno LIO. Do I have the right person? Oh, yeah, I do, Selma. For technical and teleconferencing support. Our first order of business today, we will be hearing House Bill 116, Aquatic Farm Hatchery Site Leases by Representative Story. On Tuesday, we heard public testimony on this bill and held committee discussion. I received no amendments. There was one letter of opposition. Would the bill sponsor like to come forward for any remarks?
Thank you, Chair Stutes, and the committee for your time and consideration of House Bill 116. House Bill 116 would simplify the Department of Natural Resources lease renewal process for aquatic farms. If enacted, it would help Alaska-based aquaculture businesses succeed by reducing administrative burden, expediting the lease renewal process, and reducing risks for businesses that would make significant capital investments. It would also reduce workload on an overstretched state agency while still adequately protecting the public interest. Myself and my staff, Greg Smith, are here to help answer any questions. There should also be agency staff and others online for additional support. Thank you.
And online we have Christy Collis from the Department of Natural Resources, Mining, Land, and Water. Do we have any questions or comments from this committee? Representative Vance? Oh, Representative Christ Tompkins. Was that a finger pointing?
Great bill, and I'm ready to support it.
Perfect. Who's going to make the motion? Here, let me give it to you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Vance. I'm sorry.
I have some comments. Thank you, Representative Story, for bringing forth this bill. I'm very happy to support it as well because I believe reducing the regulatory and statutory burden on our small businesses will help them be successful in the long run. But I do want to address one of the concerns that we've heard from one of my constituents about allowing for public process in this renewal. And that was answered by our departments last week that said, while it may be a condensed version of the process, there is a time that they can appeal if they have concerns. So their voice will be heard, but it isn't the lengthy public process as if they were applying for the first time. So I just wanted to clarify that we have considered that there is still public process available in this renewal, but it looks a little bit different. And also the size consideration was answered, that aquatic farms cannot be any larger than one-third of a bay. And you know, I think that is something that if there are more concerns about larger corporations, that we could address that in the future. But I'm happy to support this bill as it stands because it will allow our small farms to continue and become profitable.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to note Representative Newman has arrived and Representative Kott. Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any other comments? I would like to mention we have Lorraine Versesi on the line from the Department of Fish and Game as well. And we are taking committee comments on House Bill 116. Do you have any comments either? Representative Newman?
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And I did talk to Representative Story, too, about the 10-year look back, you know, as was mentioned by just recently by Representative Vance. And again, that, I think, adds a little bit of certainty back into the system, you know. They can check. But I think 10 years also, again, as I stated before, it gives them a chance to get going and see if they're going to actually work and how it works. And again, that's why I wanted to ask some of the folks that work on this continually. I like that idea. Just comments on that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Kopp, any comments? Okay. Hearing none. Oh, welcome, Representative Edgemond. We are just about ready to move House Bill 116, Representative Story's bill. Do you have any final comments?
No, I don't, Madam Chair.
Thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move sponsor substitute for HB 116, work order LS0696-U out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Hearing no objection, House Bill 116 is moved from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note, and we will take a brief at ease to have the committee sign.
Thank you.
Thank you. Come back on record. Up next, we have House Bill 65, Fish Tax Repeal, Municipal Refunds, Revenue Sharing by the Governor. The intent today is to take invited and public testimony so that affected communities like those I represent will have an opportunity to have their voices heard on the issue. We will not be moving this bill today, and we will be setting it aside for further review. I have invited Nils Andreessen, Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League, to give us a presentation on behalf of all municipalities regarding what the repeal of the municipal share of the raw fish tax would mean to coastal communities. Mr. Andreessen will be followed by invited testimony from individual municipalities. We will then wrap up with public testimony. I thank everyone in advance for their patience while waiting to testify. Mr. Andreessen, I see you've already joined us at the table, so if you would identify yourself and your affiliation and proceed with your presentation, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nils Andreessen. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League. Thank you for this opportunity to present to this committee on shared fish taxes and allowing me to say just a few words about how important this is to our members, who are 165 cities and boroughs across the state. And for 50 of those municipalities, they would be affected by the loss of these two taxes or the sharing of these taxes. Roughly, that's a third of all local governments in Alaska who are affected, and almost every single House district affected to varying degrees. So it really is a statewide issue, and it's not just relevant for coastal communities, it's relevant for Alaska communities. It's just a snapshot of the communities that are impacted by this bill. And for those of you who aren't so familiar with the shared fish taxes and what it means for communities, often these taxes or this revenue is used by local governments to make sure that ports and harbors are maintained and operational in support of the fishing industry. These taxes, this revenue provides local contribution to education, so it supports local school districts. Revenue supports public safety and municipal-owned hospitals. It helps communities maintain public entities, including water, sewer, sanitation, solid waste. It replaces gaps felt currently in state capital investment. It helps to provide grants to local nonprofits and youth activities. It allows municipalities to offer quality of life programs that help give communities the sustainability that they need to keep residents and industry and families and to maintain the health of their communities. It also improves credit ratings for those communities as they bond for debt related to school districts and other capital projects. So this next slide, we talk about the municipal impact. So this is roughly the top 20 or so municipalities impacted by shared fish tax loss. And this is the hardest hit as a total dollar amount. So you'll see City of Elton, Alaska at the bottom there. And fish total is the total impact. The impact as a percentage of their tax revenue is the second to last column. And then I thought I would just reference the percentage of the total impact related to the current estimated deficit for the state. And you'll see that for as much as this means quite a bit to these municipalities, it's a very small, often a small number for the state. And I think especially important to recognize is just how different it is for each of these communities. This isn't a broad-based impact in terms of equitable or equal distribution of how these impacts will be felt. Each of these communities will feel this differently, and it'll impact their decision-making differently. The next slide ranks those roughly the same communities in terms of being hardest hit as a percentage of tax revenue. And so you see it changes the rankings in a lot of different ways. But to make up for the loss of shared fish taxes, it would mean, you know, roughly speaking, the city of Larson Bay increasing their taxes three times over, or Chignik by almost two times. So incredible increases in taxes needed at the local level to, again, make up a wide variation in terms of the state's budget deficit. So total impact for just the top 37 impact is basically the entire amount, $27 million. Those 37 communities, not including Anchorage, represent 25% of Alaska. The average impact for those communities is $615,000, but again, a wide variety in the impact for those communities. And the average impact as a percentage of tax revenue, or the amount that would have to be increased at the local level to make up the state's budget deficit, would be almost 30%. And it's important to look at each of those for the top 10 communities impacted by shared fish taxes, the characteristics of those 10. So a total population of almost 100,000, 100% of them participate in the state-managed pension system, which limits their ability to respond to cuts of this size. Total employee base of almost 1,000 people, 7 have property taxes, 6 have sales taxes, some don't in the long list. So the tax base is very different for the communities represented here. A lot of them currently have bond debt, $455 million plus $131 million in school bond debt, that a loss of $27 million each year would directly impact. They combined contribute $72 million to school districts, and in a lot of cases over and above their required minimum contribution to education. 3 of them have hospitals, and 6 of them have police powers, so they're directly responsible for law enforcement. I'm sorry I don't have the next slide by house district, but it gets messy a little bit when we're doing house districts by municipality. So by Senate district, you can just see a wide variation in almost every Senate district. And for Senate District S, $17 million impact.
Representative Edmund.
So actually, you could put every Senate district in here if you really wanted to spread the overall sort of force multiplier impact of these budget cuts, because a lot of the commerce that maybe originates in coastal Alaska finds its way through Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau and all the urban centers of the state. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, or that the committee perhaps doesn't know, but I think it's worthwhile just sort of amplifying that point, that that the economic impact is throughout the entire state. And you know, perhaps a redundant point relative to what we know, but it's something worth underscoring.
Thank you.
So the shared fish taxes, if they weren't shared, you would see taxes and mortgage fees increase. And it's interesting in talking to many of our members, to local governments, who run through scenarios that they've experienced before when revenues have dropped. And as they've had to add taxes or mortgage fees, and assuming that seafood prices remain low or flat, they're really concerned at the impact at the local level, the micro level, I would guess, of what allows small vessel owners and business owners to continue operating. And the additional increases in taxes quickly makes those operations unviable. And they would anticipate the sell-off of local small vessels to larger fleets that are often owned by outside owners. And so you'd see fleet consolidation benefits accrue outside Alaska. And these are scenarios that some of our local governments have talked about, they've experienced historically and would anticipate if this were to go away. At the same time, maintenance and repair of ports and harbors would be diminished. And these are most often state-transferred assets that came to municipalities in need of repair, and shared fish taxes allow them to conduct that appropriately.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You talk about taxes and mortgage fees increases, the effects onto the community. So if this $25 million in the fish tax and the 6.3 in the landing tax or vice versa was eliminated, have you gone through and done the numbers? You've done a lot of numbers here. Have you gone and how much would their increase, how much would they have to increase their fish landing tax and the current fish business taxes to replace the money, that 25 and 6.3 total money? Have you done that work? See what I'm trying to say?
I think so. Representative Newman, through the chair, I think it would be, if we go back a few slides to the numbers we provided, the impact as a percentage of tax revenue, it would be that column that would have to increase by that amount. So local taxes would have to increase by 23% or 57% to make up the difference.
So just to clarify that, Madam Chair, follow up?
Certainly.
Thank you. So if we go and we take, I'll just say Yakutat at the top of the beginning. So we got the impact at 17.83% is their impact to tax revenue. I'm on page 5. So that they would have to get their total value, say, of the fish landing tax would have to increase 17.83% to cover their difference?
They would have to, this bill would preempt their collection of that tax. So the fact that boroughs are statutorily mandated to tax would mean they'd have to either use existing taxes or find a new tax to make up the difference.
That would only be in, excuse me, Madam Chair, through the Chair. That would only be in organized areas, or can unorganized areas adjust their tax rate on landing taxes and fish business taxes?
Through the Chair, Representative Newman. I think in the unorganized borough for incorporated cities therein, they would have to increase their current tax base or in taxes.
They have the statutory authority to do that. I was
Yep.
just wondering if they have the authority to do that.
Thank you. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to kind of piggyback on this conversation a little bit. So what it appears is that our fishing industry would have to be double taxed because the state would maintain its tax to be able to capture that as a whole, and then the local communities would have to institute their own tax to be able to maintain that portion of infrastructure in the localized area. And they would take on that burden individually, if I'm understanding, or by borough, and therefore less money in our economy. Am I understanding this clearly?
Representative Vance, through the chair, I think that's accurate. And I think the reality is, based on the variation between municipalities, you'd see industry driven to different locations. So not only would you see the necessary tax increase in one community, but that tax increase in one community that's not felt in another community would mean that industry could shift between communities in ways that to the detriment of where existing commerce takes place.
Thank you.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wanting to understand the slide 8. And so I was just curious, I was looking up because I don't have the Senate district letters memorized, so just kind of looking up so I can get some context of the relative impact. But where you have the F-N, is that supposed to mean districts F through N, like you're grouping the Matt, Sioux, and Anchorage districts, or is that supposed to be that each individual Senate district F through N?
Representative Tarr, through the chair, that's grouped together would be the total. Because there's, and I think this is when it comes to sorting out municipalities and who represents mm-hmm. who, there's a lot of overlap in weird kind of ways, especially between boroughs and cities. Mm-hmm. So it's not so straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's, yeah, this is combined totals for those.
Okay.
I'd also like to note that Commissioner Tangeman is here as well for any questions. Thank you.
Through the chair, I believe he's my lifeline.
Okay.
So I'll maybe go on. And so we, in addition to the running through these by the numbers, we've asked communities around the state to submit municipal impact statements. And so we tried to, they submitted municipal impact statements in response to the overall budget. But for the most part, these apply to specifically in relation to the shared fish taxes. So I've tried to group these together, but you could see that in Kodiak, jobs lost would be 14. You'd see programs reductions or eliminated by 8%, and you'd see a tax increase. In Dillingham, you'd reduce jobs by 25% across the board reductions and a tax increase. In the Kenai, unsure of jobs, but you'd see elimination of quality of life programs and a tax increase on property. Atka, you'd see 4 jobs lost. They wouldn't be able to provide space for their VPSO and reduction in public works by 40%. And where it says no tax possible, in some of the smaller communities, the application or implementation of a sales or property tax wouldn't actually bring in enough to cover the cost of the implementation of that tax. So it wouldn't make some sense for them to add a tax at the local level. It wouldn't pay for itself, let alone make up the difference at the same time. Petersburg, you'd see mortgage fees increase, quality of life programs reduced, and an increase in property tax of 1.7 to 4.35 mils. In St. Paul, 3 to 4 jobs lost, public safety reduced by 7%, public works by 19%, and an increase in taxes 90 to 95%. In Yakutak, 17% of their jobs would be lost, public safety, public works reduced by 20%, and 300% is the total budgetary impact. And then Soldovia, 2 jobs lost, public safety, public works reduced by 13%, and their quality of life programs reduced or eliminated. So I mean, I think that what you see at the local level is that all these choices combined and compounded by other things that have been suggested or proposed within the FY20 budget, including capital project reimbursement, which is for ports and harbors, harbor matching grants gone away, cuts to the marine highway system, et cetera, directly impact these communities in a tangible way. That it ends up being a feedback loop. So if you see departure of residents occurring, then you'll see fewer businesses and you'll have fewer jobs, which will result in fewer families staying in the communities. And you know what that looks like at the local level. It's really hard to do at a macro level, but when you talk to these communities, you'll get a real sense of just what this means for just the day-to-day sustainability of each. And with that, I would just close in saying that really this bill results in less sustainable communities, less predictable economies, and less affordable services. And I am glad to know that included in the invited testimony are local government leaders who can tell you a little bit more about what exactly this would do at the local level.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Andreessen. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions from this committee, we will move on to our public testimony. And with that, I will open public testimony. And we will first go to Pat Branson with the City of Kodiak. Ms. Branson?
Yes, good morning, Chair Stutes and the committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. I'm Pat Branson, the mayor of the city of Kodiak. The city of Kodiak faces a dire threat from the governor's proposal to grab the shared fisheries business tax and shared fisheries resource landing tax. This tax amounts to $859,000 to the city of Kodiak budget, or 4.5% of our general fund revenue. Those funds are used to maintain infrastructure, which supports our and the state's economic engine, the seafood industry. Kodiak is a third in pounds landed and fourth in product value in all U.S. ports. The state no longer owns the infrastructure which supports this important industry. Without these funds, it means municipalities such as ours will have to look at raising taxes, cutting services, and for some municipalities, continuing to remain as viable government entities. Let me emphasize the definition of shared. Distributed between members of a group, used or enjoyed jointly. And I would take this definition further, that the state budget, the proposed state budget, affects every municipality in Alaska and should have an in-depth research and analysis before finding a quick fix of making major cuts as being the solution to long-term problem of the state budget deficit. Local municipalities and even household budgets are not approached in this manner without dangerous effects. This budget approach lacks the understanding and awareness of the realities of living in a resource economy in a geographically remote location. I urge you and the full legislature as the state budget appropriators to carefully research, review, discuss with local municipalities, as you're doing today, and to carefully consider the effects of the governor's budget. Cost shifting and revenue grabbing is not budget solving. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Ms. Branson. Do we have any questions for Ms. Branson? Thank you very much for your testimony, and I appreciate your briefness. Next, we will go to Gary Henney from the city manager of King Cove. And I'm going to ask people if they would try and keep their comments to between 3 and 5 minutes. Mr. Henney, I'm not sure I'm saying your name correctly. Henning.
Thank you, Chair Stutes. Yes, this is Gary Henning, and I am the city administrator for King Cove, and this is my 29th year. King Cove's economy is all about fishing, and during my time, the city has experienced almost nonstop changes in our fisheries, which is the revenue cornerstone of our economy and our local government operations. But I can unequivocally say that the prospects of House Bill 65 becoming law is the most daunting of all these fishery-related revenue changes during my time. First, a little background. Since at least the mid-70s, when King Cove became a first-class city, state shared fish taxes have been an important part of our general fund budget. More than 21% of our 1975 general fund budget came from shared fish taxes, 29% in 1992, 20% in 2005, and currently about 24% of our general fund budget of $2.6 million is made up of about $616,000 in shared fisheries taxes. At the same time, we have had a 2% local fish tax since the late 1980s, and we have increased our local sales and use tax from 2% to 4%, and then about 10 years ago, we went to 6%. The city also implemented a one-of-a-kind fisheries business impact tax about 15 years ago that requires our local processor to pay $100,000 annually. King Cove has always been a responsible and forward-thinking community. We were the second municipality in Alaska to accept an ownership transfer of the state-built harbor in King Cove back in the mid-90s. Later, we agreed to accept ownership of a state road connecting our airport to the harbor. These ownership transfers have obviously obligated the city to be responsible for maintaining these facilities. Over the last 20, 25 years, the city has taken on significant debt of about $8 million for a number of community projects, including our two very successful hydro facilities, a new water system, rebuilding the old state harbor, and soon for a new landfill and a sewer lift station replacement. These projects have been essential and are in response to the residential, commercial, and industrial growth in King Cove. Some of these projects require significant subsidy from our general fund, where our state and local fish taxes are the primary source of revenue. We have also been increasing user fees in our enterprise funds, 70% for water over the last 4 years, 50% in our solid waste fund, and 10% recently in our harbor and port fees. Now the possibility of needing to reduce our general fund budget is very daunting. Clearly, major program and employee reductions would be necessary. This is a very challenging time for the city of King Cove if the governor is successful in getting House Bill 65 passed. Simply stated, the city of King Cove does not support House Bill 65, and we would urge the House Fisheries Special Committee to not pass it out of their committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Mr. Hynek? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question about the fisheries impact business tax that requests $100,000 from the processor. Is that money going directly to the general fund or for specific projects?
Representative, through the chair, that $100,000 a year annual fisheries business tax simply comes into our general fund to help pay for the things that the general fund covers, which is basically all of the day-to-day activities in the city, the police department, the fire department, public works, and you can go down through the list of those type of activities.
Follow-up? Representative Vance.
Is this common for processors to be taxed annually at this level, and was this met with ease or great resistance?
This is not common, and it was clearly met with great resistance. But because there is no property tax in King Cove, it is one of the available taxing measures that we had available to us. And I guess I would just, again, summarize. It was very controversial, but it's been in place now for at least 15 years, and I don't see it changing.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony. Are there any other questions for Mr. Hynek? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Hynek. Next, we'll go to Farah Karam in the city of Accutan.
Please testify.
Yes, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Farah Karim. I am the Assistant City Administrator for the City of Accutan. We are a community in the Eastern Aleutian regions, and we heavily depend on fish tax. We have 1.5% raw fish tax from the sale of raw seafood, which gave 52% of our total revenue last year. Then the shared fisheries business tax and resource lending tax gave us 36% of our revenue. Both added up to 88% of city's total revenue in the year of 2018. Even though we are a small community, we are busy with a lot of projects. For example, we built an airport for easier public transportation. We made improvement to the city dock system. We recently replaced and improved our drinking water system. We have hydroelectricity generation facility. We have a harbor, which is not fully functional yet, but we are in the process of bringing light and electricity so that we can get the harbor up and running soon. These infrastructure projects provide social and economic benefits to our communities, and these services are some of the most essential living needs for the rural Alaska, if you think about it. For these projects to become a reality, the shared fish tax revenue is indispensable for us. So if there was to be any cut in this program, City of Accutan, as well as other rural communities who depend on this program, will be hardly hit by this cut. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Ms. Karam? Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Karam. Next, we'll go to Cynthia Rogers in Dillingham.
Thank you, Chair Suits and committee members, for the opportunity to testify on HB 65. My name is Cynthia Rogers, and I represent the City of Dillingham as the Planning Director. The City does not support House Bill 65. Repealing the shared revenue, we feel, unfairly disadvantages small local municipalities like Dillingham. Dillingham is a small first-class city in Bristol Bay with a population of just under 2,400 residents. Our fishing industry contributes a great deal of revenue directly and indirectly to the state, since over 40% of the permits that participate in the fishery here in Bristol Bay are owned by Alaska residents that reside in other parts of the state. The City of Dillingham received approximately $400,000 in fish tax revenue during fiscal year 19. As a municipality with a small tax base, it would cause a great hardship on the city should this bill move forward to repeal the tax allocation, refunds, and revenue sharing. I want to point out that the city is already under a great deal of fiscal strain with a reduction to business revenues of over $8 million between fiscal year 14 and fiscal year 18. We struggle to maintain basic city services after multiple years of cutting service levels and employee positions. So now more than ever, we really rely on the fish tax revenue to keep the city functioning at a basic level and to help support required upgrades at our facilities, including our dock and harbor. Dillingham is already heavily taxed. We rank 17th on the per capita taxable list as published in Alaska Taxable by the state of Alaska. We levy a 13 mil real and personal property tax, a 6% sales tax, and a 10% bed and alcohol tax, as well as a tobacco tax and gaming tax. In addition, we charge fees for all of our basic services. Finally, as a first-class city, we contribute annually $1.3 million to our schools. Dillingham does not have the tax base to support increases to property taxes to make up the difference if we lose the fish tax revenue. The other taxes I mentioned are already quite high compared to other communities of our size, and I respectfully urge you not to support HB 65. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Rogers? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony, Ms. Rogers. Next, we'll go to Clay Copeland from the City of Cordova. Clay Copeland, if you would identify yourself and your affiliation, please, for the record.
Clay Copeland, Mayor, City of Cordova. Chair Stutz, through you to the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. Our story is very much Dillingham's story. We're a city, not a borough. We strongly oppose House Bill 65, and our fish tax revenues last year were just over $1.4 million, and it made up 15% of our general fund revenues. So to put this in perspective, Cordova funds its schools at just about $1.5 million. That is down fairly sharply over the last two or three years of budget cuts from the pretty much maximum allowable levels from the state. There's no way that Cordova can cut beyond the $2 million that we've already cut from our budget over the last 2 years and continue to keep our hospital, which is hanging on by a thread, and our schools, which have consumed all of their reserves over the last 2 years to try to maintain a quality education program in operation without severe taxes of our own, which would cripple our local economy. Those aren't the only places that would be affected. Our Chamber of Commerce, our Resource and Crisis Center, Public Safety, Library and Museum, very little would not be impacted by the kind of budget cuts and or taxes we'd have to put in place to try to keep the ship afloat here. The tragedy is that Cordova's positioned to grow into one of those top five seafood ports in the country next to Kodiak and Dutch Harbor. So to that effect, we've strategically passed our a bond to renovate the harbor that was formerly owned by the state. We've implemented a local 0.5% fish tax and increased our wharfage fees to help pay for that so we can position ourselves for growth. The efforts we put into doubling our raw fish tax revenues over the last 10 years would be severely undermined by the state robbing all the fruits of that effort. I'm quite sure that if the state elbowed Cordova out of the revenue picture as a partner, we would have to seek other business models. And the full fish tax that the state would continue to collect, very likely, in my mind, would drop to lower levels than the 50% share that they're getting now. It's taken us 10 years to double those revenues to the state, and I think the state wants to keep us as that partner. There are too many exciting ways to grow our community and our state's economy together rather than cannibalizing revenues as adversaries. The only way we're going to build a strong Alaska is to build and maintain strong communities. House Bill 65 moves us backwards, not forwards in that regard. So we should be investing in Alaska's largest sustainable industry at this time, not gutting it. So please oppose this bill. Thank you, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mayor Copeland? Clay, thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Next, we'll go to Gary Paxton of Sitka. If you could put your name and affiliation on the record, please.
Right, Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm mayor of the city and borough of Sitka. I've got about four or five quick points. First is, in our ports and harbor system, we have been increasing our rates there by about 6% a year because of all communities. We have an aging infrastructure problem, and we have an aggressive program for maintaining our harbor system, which has caused that rate increase. Fishing is part of our ethos and part of our community. Second, the uncertainty of the fishing industry, especially in salmon and the Chinook and pink runs, also causes uncertainty and stress for our fishermen in our community. In our Ports and Harbors budget, it's a $1.2 million come from the shared fish tax against a budget of just over $4 million. Do the math. You get a third increase in your rates. We are also constrained in our bonding capacity because of the wisdom, but the cost of increasing capacity of our Blue Lake Dam. We have a $120 million bond indebtedness that affects our people and causes significant impact on continued increases of other fees and rates. We are categorically opposed to H-Bill 65. Cost shifting and revenue grabbing is not the kind of state that we are. We're violently opposed to that and ask for your support to defeat this measure. Thank you. Pass out.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Mayor Paxton? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Just a comment. Mayor Paxton has a saying that brevity is godliness, and I think that's a great maxim for the legislature to live by, and I appreciate his testimony.
Thank you. Up next, we will go to Ann Bailey from Aleutians East Borough. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record, Ms. Bailey. Ms. Bailey? All right. We will go back to her. We will go to John Erickson, the city manager of the city and borough of Yakutat. Mr. Erickson, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name is John Erickson. I'm the city and borough manager of Yakutat, Alaska. Thank you, Representative Stutes and the committee, for hearing me this morning, and I appreciate your time. As a side note, I just rode the Alaska Marine Highway from Yakutat, and I'm sitting in a parking lot in Bell's Nursery spending all kinds of money. So the money does come from outside the city. The idea is simply that the fish tax, we're a small borough, probably 540 people. The revenue we receive from the fish tax is right around $260,000-$270,000. In comparison, our property tax is right around $300,000. Our revenue sharing is around $280,000. And we contribute to the school $502,000, or the max, or at least that's our plan this year. As you can see, because we're so small, taking away, it doesn't seem like much. Under $300,000 would be not that much, but to us, it's a big burden. And the curious thing about Yakutat is we actually own the seafood dock and own the facilities, and we lease it out, and they do the repair and rent it. And all of that money has been plowed back in. It comes out net zero after everything we spent on fixing the dock, because it's a dock from the early 1900s. Anytime you take revenue from a small community and say, okay, make that up, what that means is, well, I can't really double property tax. We already charge a 5% sales tax. It just makes it impossible for us to make up. So I would certainly hope that you would consider other ways to try and balance the state's budget. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Do we have any questions for Mr. Erickson? Seeing none, thank you for taking time out from your shopping to testify.
Thank you.
Next, we will go to Mayor Frank Kelty in Unalaska. Mayor Kelty, if you'd state your name and affiliation.
Mayor Frank Kelty, City of Unalaska. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I would ask that the committee hold HB 65. This is a terrible bill that would have tremendous negative impacts on revenues, for every fishing community in Alaska. And many of the smaller communities in Alaska, the Alaska Fisheries Business Tax, which is a 3% tax paid to the state by the shore-based processors and shared back to the communities at a 50% rate. This revenue in many of the smaller fishery communities is their largest revenue source. Unalaska shared fish taxes make up 26% of Unalaska's $31 million general fund budget, a little over $8 million annually. If we lost that amount of revenue, it would be devastating to Unalaska, and I think Mel's of AML chart there showed that we have the highest impact of any communities on shared fish taxes. The city of Unalaska is this nation's number one commercial fishing port, which is highly dependent on shared and local fishery taxes that we use to support the seafood industry, both onshore and offshore processors that work in Unalaska. The fishing industry of the Bering Sea is our only industry. And if the shared fish tax revenues are impacted, it'll be felt in all sectors of the community. Almost all fishery-dependent communities have local sales taxes, high mill rates, and local fisheries landing taxes. All of these taxes would have to be raised if they lost their shared fisheries tax revenues. And this is just putting a tax on our communities across the state, and just I just think it's a bad way to do business. We use local tax revenues to pay our own way in Alaska. We fund port and harbor upgrades, utility improvements, and I'll mention that we own all the utilities and landfill in our communities. We maintain the roads. The school district is funded at the cap amount annually. Local nonprofits are funded over $1 million annually, and we support our local medical clinic. It should be pointed out that the majority of city projects are done with city dollars from bonding or use of our reserves. A case in point is the just completed $40 million city dock extension that is used for container shipping of seafood, support services such as fueling, crew changes, and processing supplies was totally bonded by the city. If the state of Alaska takes all the state shared fish tax revenues, who will step up to assist fishery dependent communities on projects that are needed to support the seafood industry? This is the largest in the nation. And the economic impact of all fishery-dependent communities. Will it be the state of Alaska? I think not. Not with our next-to-nothing capital projects budget that the state has had the past few years. In wrap-up, the legislature must remember that fishery-dependent communities across Alaska produce 56% of the nation's seafood, over 5 billion pounds, at a value over $2 billion. We need to keep Alaska fishery-dependent community strong, not hurt them by taking away the state shared fish tax dollars. Thank you, and I'll answer any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mayor Kelty? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Next, okay. We will go to Mark thank Carroll you. From Cordova.
Yes, hello.
Good morning. If you'd hello, state your name me? And affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, hi, my name is Mark Carell, and I'm speaking for myself. Thank you, Chair Stutz and committee members, for taking the time to hear my testimony. My name is Mark Carell. I'm a commercial fisherman for salmon and halibut and a year-round resident of Cordova. I am opposed to House Bill 65. Coastal municipalities provide the essential infrastructure for the seafood industry to be able to succeed. The commercial fishing industry needs good harbor facilities and shipyards, as well as all the necessary infrastructure for the canneries to be able to process and ship our fish to market. The cost of this is mostly carried by the municipalities, and it is therefore crucial that revenue sharing from the fisheries landing tax continue. Rather than being absorbed in the state's general fund, this tax money is directly being invested into projects that support the fishing industry, thereby creating more jobs and more tax revenue in the long run. If the revenue sharing is repealed, the resulting increased local taxes and fees, as well as poorer city infrastructure, will directly hurt local small boat fishing businesses such as my own and decrease the money we can spend in our local community. For that reason, I urge you to oppose House Bill 65. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Is Ann Bailey from Aleutians East Borough back online? If so, Ann, would you state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Ann Bailey, and I'm the administrator of the Aleutians East Borough. The borough is responsible for six communities, Pactan, Coal Bay, False Pass, King Cove, Nelson Lagoon, and Sandpoint, with a total population of 3,141 residents and a large transient fishing fleet. Our borough assembly recently passed a resolution opposing House Bill 65. Shared Fisheries Tax Program reflects a partnership between the state and municipalities. There are significant general fund revenues that municipalities rely on as part of their tax base to provide borough and municipal services benefiting residents and the fishing industry. As Niels mentioned earlier, some of these services include education, boat harbors, docks, road maintenance, fire protection, police, emergency medical services, electricity, and water. The borough has a strong record of taking the lead on many capital projects, and we provide funds to support the link between Axtan and the airport on Accoon and the King Cove's Coal Bay roads, which are necessary transportation routes to both communities. The Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program represents 28% of our operating budget, amounting to approximately $2.2 million. This tax base has allowed the borough to be economically viable. Availability of these revenues was a critical consideration by the local boundary commission when it approved the borough's petition to incorporate. Cuts to the Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program also negatively impact the borough communities of Accutan, Coal Bay, False Pass, King Cove, and Sandpoint. Cuts range from 36% to 2.7% of their operating budget. The communities cannot sustain reductions like this. House Bill 65 would greatly shift more costs for services onto boroughs and municipalities while at the same time reducing the general tax revenue. The package of reductions proposed by the governor threatens our viability as a borough. We as municipalities cannot simply cut our way out of this or raise taxes in a matter of a few months to compensate for the impact. We ask that you take these severe impacts into consideration as you go through your budget process. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions? And to our testifiers, any of you that have written testimony, we'd appreciate if you'd send us a copy of the written testimony as well. Next, we will go to Charles McKee in Anchorage. Mr. McKee, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name, first of all, I'm a beneficiary to what they call Seneca K. Trust that's been encumbered by this public corporation called the State of Alaska. It's it goes under AS 4577020, and it's affiliated with the United States Corporation 8 USC 1101A in parentheses 22 parentheses, you know, Alaska 1-200 hectare. So what's going on here is, and what I've turned in is 18 pages about the remedy, and what on page 6 it talks about the transfer of liability from the trustee, which is the state, which is the employee, or shall we say the administration. They want to become the beneficiary to the trust of dispensing this tax.
Excuse me, are you speaking to the raw fish tax?
I am.
Okay.
I am, but it's collective. It's collective. Everybody's assessed, everybody's birth certificate is combined and or constructive trust combination. It's clarified in the packet I sent you pertaining to this issue. It encompasses everybody individually based on birth certificate slash the constructive trust format, and we're the beneficiary. When you read this, the administration, the legislative rulemaking body, and the judicial are kind of lines kind of blur because they're all involved in this fraud. And what the administration wants to do is slap the communities in the face to get their attention, because this information was given to me the 7th at the church, and then I started discussing it the April the 10th at the Alaska's Regulatory Commission. So that being said, what's going on here is they want to become the beneficiary, so they have to get you to accept liability, and you become the trustee of the Septicate Trust collectively for the people in your community. Please read the 18 pages. And on page 6, it gets to the point where this state employee wants to take and transfer the transfer so they can become the beneficiary, transfer the liability to you peeps.
So, Mr. McKee, should I presume that you are in opposition to the state taking the raw fish tax?
Yes, I'm not only in opposition, but I'm currently in court with the state Supreme Court on controlling my Septicate Trust in reference to workers' comp.
Okay.
I'm the beneficiary of that.
Well, we appreciate your testimony, and thank you for taking the time to call in and wait on hold. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to me. Yes.
Next, we'll go to John Murray in Sitka. Mr. Murray, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, I'm John Murray. Speaking for myself as a resident in the small boat commercial fisherman out of Sitka since 1978. I oppose House Bill 65, and my reasoning is Sitka being the largest small boat harbor system in Alaska, both commercial and recreationally, would be hard-pressed to backfill the loss of the raw fish tax, which in 2018 was right around $1.2 million. And on a personal level, my current mortgage fees are $740. If this repeal goes through, I can foresee a doubling of that mortgage rate. This would make it difficult for me and other small boat commercial fishermen to thrive and to contribute to the local economy and the state of Alaska. Thanks for your consideration and service. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions from this committee? Seeing none, we will go to Tanya Harrison in Cordova. Ms. Harrison, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
I'm Tanya Harrison, speaking for myself as a commercial fisherman and resident of Cordova. Good morning, Chair Stutz and committee members. Thank you for hearing my testimony. I'm calling in opposition to House Bill 65. Fishing is an important industry not only for coastal communities, but also for the economy of the whole state. The seafood industry directly employs more workers than any other private sector industry and is the third largest basic sector job creator in Alaska. It is in the best interest of the state to support the fishing communities that make this industry possible. Revenue sharing of fishery resource landing tax enables fishing towns to maintain infrastructure that supports this industry and the communities. This kind of investment has helped fisheries flourish and the increased value of fish has greatly increased the funds generated by fish tax. House Bill 65 will severely hurt the economies of fishing towns and will burden residents with drastically higher local taxes. A financially struggling community will not be able to support the large landings and high fish values that we currently enjoy today. I urge you to oppose House Bill 65. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions from this committee? Seeing none, and I see no others online. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Seeing no one, I will close public testimony. I appreciate everyone taking their time to testify today. This legislation certainly would have a very negative impact on the communities I represent, along with fishing communities all across the state. Aside from there being no justification for it, there's also no upside to the residents. This simply shifts state burdens to local governments, who in turn will be forced to tax residents or reduce services. Fishing communities bring a lot of money and economic activity to the state of Alaska, both in the form of large processing companies and mom-and-pop commercial fishing operations. I see no rationale as to why municipalities are not entitled to a share of the tax revenue they generate so they can reinvest in the infrastructure that makes them viable and attractive places to do business. This revenue sharing is a part of what keeps coastal Alaska open for business. And with that, I would open this up to the committee for any comments. And I would also remind our committee members that we have Commissioner Tangeman here to answer any potential questions. Do we have any questions or comments from the committee? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When I hear the testimony from all these small communities, I guess it just reminds me how fragile our overall economy is, in that the coastal communities are so reliant, for example, on this fisheries and what's created from revenue for fisheries. Interior is probably a little bit different as we go north, more of the resource development in other ways. But I guess it just shows that these communities are so dependent on this source of revenue, and that there aren't other options. And so we just really have to, I think when we're trying to make some of these adjustments, they have to be done in such a way that it wouldn't have such adverse impacts on those local communities, much in the same way that the property tax proposal would really, hurt the Kenai, Valdez, and North Slope. So whatever we do here at the state level, I think we should, make it a priority that we don't just cost shift to local communities in a way that really hides the true sort of finances of the situation. And and just remember, we just really have to kind of be in this together, and that there's kind of just a few options in each of our places. I think for the budget director, I thought when she came to Alaska, that would be something that would be very different relative to the other places that she's worked, because Alaska is the only state without a statewide income or sales tax. So those are two options already off the table. And then our local communities have just, maybe sales tax and fisheries taxes. So there's just so few options that you can't pull these levers so strongly, because it'll just cause too much damage.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. And before I ask for more comments, I see we have one of our invited testifiers who just signed on. So if you would indulge me, I will open up testimony again and take testimony from Mary Swain, who is from Bristol Bay. Ms. Swain, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning. Mary Swain, Bristol Bay Borough President, Assembly President. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on the proposed legislation that will greatly and negatively impact the Bristol Bay Borough. On behalf of the Assembly, the Borough does not support repealing the shared fish business tax as proposed in House Bill 65. The Borough was formed in October 1962. We are Alaska's first borough formed, but 3 short years after the statehood. We are accessible only by air, commercial boat, or barge. We provide a full array of services to our residents, the fish processing industry, and the thousands of commercial fishers that base operations in the borough. Indeed, the borough is the heart of the largest red salmon fishing industry in the world. We are very proud of that, estimated to be valued at approximately $1 billion per year. In regard, the Naknek Port is the number 3 commercial fishing port in the U.S. based on commercial fishing landing ranked by dollar value. In support of the fishing industry, we provide fire, police, water and sewer, landfill, as well as contributing and supporting all EMS services and clinic operations in our borough. This all comes at a cost greater than the residents of the borough can absorb. The borough population spikes from a winter population of around 800 to an astonishing 13,000 during the 5-month fishing season. Loss of the shared fishery business tax would place an unbearable burden on our local residents that could force the Assembly to eliminate vital services or to raise taxes on the already taxed fishing industry. The borough assessor The borough assesses a number of local taxes and shared benefit from state revenue sharing. By far, the largest component of the shared state tax is the fishery business tax at issue here today. The value to the borough of the state fisheries tax is a function of the size of the salmon run and the price of the salmon. In fiscal year 2018, it was $3.8 million, about 26% of our annual operating budget. Options the borough would be forced to consider if deprived of the shared fishery tax would certainly include raising taxes on the already taxed processing industry. Alternatively, the borough could consider reducing operations of some of the systems we currently operate, including but not limited sewer to sewer landfill, and again, handing the cost back to the processing industry. Nevertheless, we speak, the borough is working on a significant sewer capacity expansion project to favorably accommodate the growing fish processing industry. Eliminating the shared fisheries tax could directly harm this capacity building effort. In closing, over the last 57 years, the borough and the state have been longstanding partners in supporting the Bristol Bay $1 billion per year fishing industry. We pray the state works closely with us as a durable and not disposable partner. Again, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions from this committee? Seeing none, thank you, and we appreciate you calling in. And with
thank
that,
so
I will close public testimony for the last time. And do we have any comments from any other committee members? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think something that we need to recognize is that this sharing of the fish tax does support, it is resource development. It is our fisheries resource development. And we often look at resource development as oil or mining or something like that. But the fisheries are our resource, our shared resource as well, and is so vital. And it was mentioned before, and all of us in this committee are aware that commercial fishing is, the fishing industry is the largest private sector employer in the state. And if we were to make this shift, I think it could have very detrimental effects to our economy and to the number of jobs that are generated by this industry and the sharing of this resource. So I'm absolutely for resource development in Alaska, especially the wise resource development of the fisheries and the coastal communities. And so I will not be supporting this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Representative Kopp.
Madam Chair, so I earlier put my comments on the record. As someone who, is an active participant in the state fisheries, so I am in Bristol Bay every summer, and as Mary Swain from Bristol Bay said, I'm used to seeing that cyclical swing of a town population of 1,000 to 13,000, and what a load that is on the borough. And they currently are trying to put in about a $10 million sewer system upgrade, and that upgrade is for the processors and the cannery workers and the fishermen. And a number of our small communities are just holding on by a thread. That's also pretty clear in testimony, in that this type of a cost shift to them could push a lot of them over the brink, if you will. It could be the final thread. And I think that in our partnerships with these communities that actually provide the infrastructure and support for fisheries, that there is a duty that is owed to share that load. And that's pretty much where I'm at, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Kopp. Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, two comments. The first is, I mean, this I'm sort of tempted to use more hyperbolic words, but this sort of feels like the public policy form of violence towards coastal Alaska. This and the sort of sum of other policies from the administration. So I take exception to it, and it's not just sort of throwing bills at the legislature. the amount of uncertainty it creates has very, very real effects on people's lives. And it's very painful to see and hear that in communities. I mean, from cities that are trying to pass budgets or school districts that are trying to pass budgets, people who don't know whether they have jobs, families that are moving out of state. I've had those conversations, and I don't like having them. And it's a bit, I mean, similar to the senior benefits proposed repeal, it makes me angry. So that's my first comment. My second comment is for everybody who testified, I think it's important to know that just because this bill may meet its end in this committee, or another committee, but I'm guessing this committee, that is not the end of the tunnel, and that this is a line item in the budget, and the commissioner previously testified and was unable to offer any assurance to municipalities that that line item in the budget would survive a line item veto. So this bill almost doesn't matter. It is what the governor does with that veto pen and what the legislature does to back up Alaskans' interests in potentially protecting that revenue. So it's such a technical, mechanical thing, and I think a lot of municipalities aren't aware, but all this money is subject to appropriation, even though it's written in law. And even if that law isn't changed, the governor can unilaterally nix all that money, and that just creates incredible uncertainty for municipalities, which is another reason why I really don't like this. So two comments I want to put on the record, and I hope municipalities can keep that in mind going forward.
Thank you. Any other comments? I would like to say to the commissioner, with all the testifiers that we heard here today, commissioner, unless I missed something, I didn't hear one person testify in support of this bill. And I believe the same result was when this bill was in Senate for public hearing. So I hope you carry that message back to our governor. This is not a popular bill. And it would severely cripple rural communities and coastal communities by taking those dollars that they depend on for their infrastructure and to support their families that live there. It would just be devastating. So I hope you carry that message loud and clear back to our governor. Thank you. And with that, we will set this bill aside. And the next meeting of House Fisheries will be Tuesday, April 30th at 10 a.m. The committee will be hearing an update on transboundary mining issues regarding our shared rivers with British Columbia. And seeing nothing else to come before this committee, I will adjourn at 11:16 on Thursday, April 25th. Thank you, everyone.